Sir, we got a legend in the building, y'all. We got a legend, man. I don't even know how to, you know, do the intro because, you know, brother got a lot of things, you know, saying up under his belt. You know, a lot of legendary hits, worked with a lot of, you know, great artists, dead and alive. We got West Coast Stone.
Shout, man.
Shout. I appreciate you coming through, brother.
Oh, it's all good, man.
It's love. It was organic. It was genuine. He was a real one. You know, I respect brothers like that, that, you know, fuck with a motherfucker the long way, man. It ain't no BS involved. It's strictly, you know what I'm saying? I want to support, you know, I want to be involved, whatever the culture got going on that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I think a lot that we're missing within our communities, you know, within the United States, not just Seattle, Cali, or whatever. It's just the organic support of each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it's hard for a legend to reach back down and say, man, I'm going to see who I can help up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be hard because people be busy. So, you know, sometimes it'd be, I think the intentions might be there, but motherfuckers got shit going on.
Yeah, amen.
You know?
I'm trying to stay busy, man.
You know? And sometimes it just be a motherfucker just like, man, you know, I got a whole lot of other things going on where I can't even pay attention to certain things at the moment because it's just my schedule won't allow. So it goes either way.
Right.
But we got West Coast Stone, man.
Yeah, man.
Let everybody know your social media, everything you got going on, so we can start off like that so they can follow you, they can like, they can subscribe, or they can, you know, go and reach you wherever they need to reach you.
Yeah, man, subscribe. West Coast Stone YouTube, West Coast Stone Instagram, Facebook. Everywhere, just put in West Coast Stone. You can find it, all the links.
Yes, sir.
Google it. You know what I'm saying?
I see you got the LA hat on, man. So you originally from Cali?
Yeah, I'm really from
Cali. So can we go back to the origins, man? Let's see how it all got started.
For sure. So I was born and raised in Watts.
Shout out Watts. Shout out Watts.
93rd in Wilmington.
Yes, sir.
Raised and born and raised there. So you know what I'm saying? And then I came up here to Seattle, man, and it's like the second home, man, up here, man.
Yeah,
you know, I love Seattle, man.
Yeah.
It's a great place to get away.
Yeah, yeah.
I like LA too. But you know, a lot of people was moving from LA just to get a better, you know what I'm saying? When you get kids and you want to raise them in a different because it get bad down there, man.
They all gas no brakes in Cali.
It's rough, man. It's rough. So I love Seattle, man. It's my second home, man, and you know I love up here, man. A lot of people been showing me a lot of love for my family, so it's cool.
That's what's up. What was it like growing up in Cali? Just, you know what I'm saying, the essence though, you know, was it, you know, music infested? Was it something that you had to go seek out? Or were, you know, grandma, auntie, mom and dad, uncles, they was playing jazz, R&B, soul, early hip-hop, you know, in the living room, and you just took a liking to it?
Well, you know, man, I've been playing music since I was 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
My mom was a minister. She traveled all around the world. I played with her, you know, when I was born and raised from church, you know, the organs and the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my pops, he played guitar for gospel groups all around the world.
Oh, so you had a musical family.
Musical family. Yeah, so everything was music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like Jackson 10s. But it was cool, man. I love it, man. You know, so 6 years old, I started playing all the different instruments. And I remember in church, man, I was playing in church, man, and every week I would play a different instrument.
Ooh. You know, multi-talented right there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I played 17 different instruments.
17?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was 17 instruments. I knew it was the saxophone, the harmonica,
You got a different ones, different things. You got the piano, you got the organ, and you got the bass, you got the lead, you got other string instruments.
Oh, okay. Kind of okay. Stuff, for know, sure. For sure.
So, so I learned how to play those at 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So was it, can we say quite honestly that church and just, you know, is being inspired by your mother and your father and just everything around you is what led you up to who you are today?
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, man. You know, my upbringing, you know, around the music definitely gave me a boost.
Mm-hmm.
And into liking the music. I mean, when I was born, I already liked music.
Yeah.
But me putting it together and putting it all together, you know, into the talent.
Yeah.
Doing it. I think like when I got older,
about
13.
Yeah.
When I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. When you start realizing your own capabilities.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Was okay, so how was that growing up in LA, being that it's heavily gang cultured, how were you able to take the time to work on the music and still not be influenced by what's going on outside? Because sometimes it's like a cat that's real good in basketball, but the gangs is still at him and he got to choose one. Or he can do both, but then sometimes that be the reason why you don't really go to the NBA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with music, you can kind of merge the two.
Right.
But just how is that being heavily influenced with just not even gangs, just with, you know what I'm saying, just the heavy culture and still trying to focus on, hold on, man, I have a talent. I gotta push my talent. I got to push and work on this craft.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? The thing is, it was a lot of people that was gangbanging, but they were into the music.
Mm.
So you surround yourself with both.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it was people still gangbanging. It was still people doing music. Yep. And so you just had both of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stick to it. I mean, like Ice Cube, you got Eazy-E.
Legends.
The Legends. Man. Mm-hmm. All the people that I done grew up with and doing music for, they were still in the gangs, but they was also doing
music. They was able to compartmentalize.
In the studio, in the garage.
The homies, come on.
Real talk. You know, so.
Yep.
Kept the movement going.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, people get distracted by shit going on outside the house or, you know, other things, and then they don't get to hone their craft or work on, you know what I'm saying, what is really their talent. Yeah. And that's how I think that, you know, a lot of, especially in the black community, you know what I'm saying, a lot of our, you know, our full potential is suppressed.
Right.
Because people, peer pressure and, you know, chasing the broad and, know, I got to get this fast dollar. And, you know, the homies is telling me we got to do this, but then I really want to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right, so, you know, a lot of that in the black community is something that, you know, is unique to, you know, the ones that did make it out or still can, you know, deal with the homies or deal with the women or deal with whatever money, you know, situation they was in and still push, you know, their craft and their hobby or, you know what I'm saying, their talent or athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Who were some of the young, like, connections that you made, like when you were young growing up in LA and Cali, like was it like childhood friends that you start, did you start rapping first? Did you make beats first or how did that work? How did you get started?
Well, you know, first I had an R&B group. I had an R&B group.
Uh-huh.
I used to sing.
Oh, okay.
We thought we was Jodeci.
Forever, my lady.
Thought we was Jodeci in 112, man. You know what I'm saying? I had the vest on without the
Don't tell me you was Peaches and Cream. Man, Peaches and Cream.
You know what I'm saying? With the little part going around like that. Yeah. So, you know, we had that. That was going, man. I had the R&B, and I just felt like, you know, like I want to take it to another level. With me, I could do everything.
Yeah.
I started figuring it out, like, oh, wait a minute, you do this, you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do everything, you know.
For sure. So, something going to work.
Something going to work for sure, man. So, you know.
Yeah,
So, that was that R&B vibe, you know, the 90s, you know.
Early 90s?
Early
90s,
man.
Early 90s, L.A., Watts. Who is the first rapper or the first group that you work with that got you out of the comfort zone of being R&B and going more towards the rap game or what I want to say early hip hop?
Okay, it was Lil Half Dead.
Shout out Lil Half Dead. I heard of Lil Half Dead. Shout out Lil Half Dead.
12 Quick the Mac, 12 Pack of Doja. And then that point, that's when I really seen how the record labels work.
Because
I remember Quick the Mac, Half Dead, that first deal. I remember we was up at the studio at Priority Records, and Def Jam.
Def Jam.
These two guys come in with briefcases, and they come in, man, we in there sitting down, man, we blow, right?
Yeah.
They come in with these briefcases, man. It's both of the white guys to put briefcases down on the table,
yeah.
Flip them open and pull out this paperwork, right? And they got the sign of their name on it, and the guys close the briefcase, locks them up, starts to go outside to walk out. Soon as they walk out, man, like a couple minutes later, a couple seconds later, they start bringing in these platters of food.
Oh,
man, it was like women from everywhere. It was like a flock of them all just came in the door. They tried to get y'all.
They said, make them hurry up and forget about what was on that paperwork.
Yeah.
Let's get them, you know, with the rap life. Let's go up into the rap game real quick.
Man. So that was the first time I seen the game. For the music that I seen, it was like, man, I was like, oh, this how I go?
Yeah.
This how you sign the contract, man, and everything that's coming the door?
Damn.
You know, so, yeah, that's, it's,
it was. But you don't know if you're selling your soul, if, you know, you owe them 10 albums.
Yeah.
If you owe them a lifetime contract, if they own your masters, your publishing, like, you know, because a lot of cats, like you said, sign it, close it, they gone. Now they're about to blind you with what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you don't even know that you're a slave to, you know what I'm saying, that what's in that black and white.
Yeah, because after they did that, man, and that's what I kind of tripped. I was like, dang, after they signed that contract, man, all this food came through with the chefs and the women. It was like flocks of them. They send them in there.
It was like on cue or something.
Man, it was crazy, man.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's the first time I ever seen something like that.
And that's what, early 90s?
The early 90s, man.
Wow. So from there, you identified how the behind the scenes worked, and you didn't obviously get discouraged by that. You said, but I'm going to figure it out my way. So what were some of the early beginnings of you becoming, you know what I'm saying, legendary, solidified, you know, what I call super producer, because you got some nice, you know what I'm saying, artists and guys up under your belt, and probably women too. But how did that go?
Yeah, you know, one day I was at Monty's house, and she said, hey, she said, nephew, she said, guess what? I said, what? She said, Rick James want to talk to you.
Rick James?
I said, Rick James? I said, Rick James, man, he the funk of the funk, right? So I'm like, okay. She's like, you don't be around at this time. He want to talk to you. So at this time, Rick James was still in the penitentiary.
Yeah,
the
yeah, time. Yeah.
So I got to talk to Rick James, and when Rick James got on the phone, he talked to me. He said, hey, man, youngster. He said, man, you got something. He said, man, the music that I hear you doing, you got something. He said, man, when I get out, I want to work on a record with you.
Yeah,
I'm like, me? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, cool. You know, just Rick James, man. He want to work with me, man. You know what I'm saying? And then he said, man, you got something, man. We said, whatever you're doing, don't stop. Keep that sound.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing. And unfortunately, man, like maybe like a little couple years, you know what I'm saying? He had got out or whatever. He had passed away.
Yeah.
But
rest in peace.
Always
with
keep that in my head that I, you know, that's memories for me that I got to talk to the man.
Yeah,
and that he liked my music.
Yeah,
for somebody at his, you know, his
stature.
Level,
yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
To say, man, I got something. And I was young. I was still. I'm about like 16, 17, something like that. And I was still, you know, saying trying to get in the music game, trying to get my niche in it. You know what I'm saying? Messing with, going around, messing with Snoop.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop used to come over. We used to hang out. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and when the time he was coming to hang out, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, man, you know, I want to get into some music. But at the time, it wasn't really serious.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was kind of like, oh, he doing beats. He doing beats. And a lot of times I was doing most of the beats, wasn't getting credit for it, though.
They was putting somebody else's stamp on it.
Yeah.
So let's stop right there. So how was your relationship and the vibe and recording and just making beats with the early Snoop Dogg? How was that? Like, was it, I'm going to let you explain it, but I just want to know, how was that whole, you know, process?
Yeah, well, you know what? With that, I tell everybody this. That those days were when we was hungry. Because you can hear it in the music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The music that you hear now, you got a lot of money, you ain't as hungry.
Yeah.
You can tell into the music.
Yeah.
So back then, you can hear the music, you could tell. Man, they was hungry. They was, you know, we was all trying to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We was all trying to make it happen. And, man, we didn't care how. We just needed to feed our family.
Yeah.
But as time went by, you know, now, you know, people got money. You could tell in their music that it kind of get lazy.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, it's.
What was your early or beginning, what was the first record that you broke, that really opened up the door, where you felt that this record kicked in the door, they know who I am, they can't, I'm here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when I did the track for Nipsey Hussle, you know, and it's crazy because Nipsey used to come to the studio and be playing the beats, man, and he said he'd pull up a chair like this close to you. He said, man, go through all them beats, man. Let me just write. And I'd just be going through all my beats.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Nip, too, man.
Rest in peace, Nip, man.
Yeah.
He'd just be writing, man, and writing to the beats and writing to the beats. And he'd just be like, man, I want to do something with you, man. Like, dude, you're dope. All your beats are dope. Every beat that you played is dope.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, there's not too many producers that play beats after beats and all of them just popping all of, you know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? I had a good blessing, man, with the talent, man, for people to like it.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, really, that's, you know, I came up, did my own. Because, you know, used to be in the streets, man, with CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, man, I'm going to get my music out there one way or the other.
Yeah, for sure.
I used to have CDs, man. I used to give people CDs with the beats on them with my phone number at the time.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Holler at me. Yeah.
Holler at me, man. And that's how I got a lot of my music around, because mm-hmm. I was out there giving out CDs like, man, check out my beats.
Yeah.
Man. You know what I'm saying?
That guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know yeah for sure. Man, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rewind it just a little bit. Okay. Where do you consider your style super West Coast, or how did you craft your scale? Because if you got a history of playing 17 instruments and then you got the flavor of being in LA and just, you know what I'm saying, that vibe, how did you comprise your style to where people could say that's West Coast Stone?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you where I got West Coast Stone from mm-hmm. first.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Nice break dance.
Oh, okay.
I used to break dance, right? And I used to spin. You know how you do the head spin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to do it on the gravel without the... Oh! I used to do it on the gravel without the cardboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say, man, you stone.
You stone cold.
You stone cold. You know what I'm saying? You doing a head spin on the concrete, man. They would say, so...
They said he's that, for real.
Yeah, so I took that, man, and put West Coast Stone together. And with the music, I felt it was because I wouldn't say it was West Coast, it was funk. Mm. Because at the time, I was also messing with George Clinton and stuff like that with the older. They was in my life teaching me the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't say people think funk is West Coast, but it's not really like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Funk is funk. West Coast is West Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I did, I put my name together and from the breakdancing. It's not from the music. It's from the pop lock.
Yeah, but you roll with it and let it
and
stick.
I roll with it, and then mm-hmm. I was already putting the funk with the West Coast, and I just mixed it all in one, you know what I'm saying, to be my own person.
Hey, so that's classic right there, working with George Clinton.
Yeah.
And the Funkadelics?
Funkadelics.
The Funkadelics, man. I remember that when I was little, you know, my aunties, uncles, you know, mom, dad, everybody, grandma and grandpa. How was that? Because them is some memories and them is some just moments I feel that, you know, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. You know, and so we was in the studio one time and I had a song. We was in the studio and me and Uncle George, man, and it was another one. I forgot the girl's name, but from the Funkadelics. And, man, we did a song together called Flirt,
you know,
and we ended up doing the song, man. We was in the studio for all night, man, just chilling, and we was just kicked back, and we made a song, man, and it came out dope. And that's the first time that I ever came out with someone like that.
Yeah, from that genre of music,
And they
liked George Clinton was, man.
I was like, man, I got some, man. Yeah. Like, you know, they ain't messing with me for nothing.
Yeah, for real.
It's got to be something they hear because they're not going to just hear it and just let you.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for them to stamp you, man.
Yeah. So was that how you got in with Bootsy Collins?
Yeah. So with Bootsy, I did a song with Cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Cocaine.
I produced a song called 40 Below.
Oh, 40
and,
below?
Yeah, 40 below. Mm-hmm. And Boosie heard and he said, man, who produced that? And Cocaine was like, you know, my guy Stone, you know, he produced that record. And this old Boosie reached out to me like, hey, man, I'm trying to funk with you, man.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
what I'm
saying? So, and then, so I've been, me and Boosie been funking for some years now, man. But, you know.
Boosie Collins, man.
It's all a domino effect, man.
Yeah,
it's all
what
you work with. And,
networking and, you know, just being connected to the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It ain't what you know, it's who you know.
How do you look at, you know, not looking back then and now, just the genuine relationships and, you know, just networking with, you know, individuals from different genres of music, you know, you feel that's a blessing to be able to have that opportunity?
Man, it's a blessing, man. You know, some of my favorite artists that you know what, I'm going to tell you this. When I was getting in the music business, I would say, man, I'm going to work with Snoop. I'm going to work with George. I'm going to work with Thought I'd Scarface, I'm going to work with. And I spoke it into existence.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Manifested.
And it all came and manifested. And everyone that I always said that I want to work with, it happened.
Yeah.
So everybody on my bucket list that I want to have some music with, I now have it.
Yeah. What was your number one hit record to today that you felt that you actually work with this artist, you produced the beat, and that's the biggest song to date that you've did?
Man, I think the Flirt with George Clinton, and then I got a couple more with Bootsy. Mm-hmm. I got a few with Bootsy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's out.
Yeah.
And then I got another one that's coming out with Bootsy, Wiz Khalifa, and Snoop.
How is it working with Wiz Khalifa and Snoop, man? Do they try to smoke you up under the table, or man, is it just some, man, like, roll up your own at your own pace?
Man, them dudes smoke, man. I remember he used to bring his dog. He had that, you know, back in the day, he had that song called, he was rapping about his dog, and that song, I got a pit named Peach.
Yeah.
So he had this dog. He used to come over in his blue Suburban. He had this little dog, man. He used to come over, man, and one time he brought this weed, he was like, and by time, that back in the day was called Tie on a Stick.
Oh,
now, I don't know if you know about
nah,
that.
Nah.
But yeah, it was called Tie on a Stick, man. It was some weed, and it was on a toothpick. And the weed was tied around the toothpick.
And you just light it?
And you have to know, you have to break it down. It was so sticky, man.
Oh.
You had to break it down. And you put, and yeah, it was on fire, man. You know what I'm saying? That weed just, man, that dude was smoke.
He Snoop, blow, huh?
That Snoop would smoke you under the table. I couldn't even smoke no more. They was in the studio talking about, basement. I had the bass sitting up in there on the couch like this, man, knocked out, man. He talking about basement, wake up, man. Wait, we partying, baby. No, I'm like, but shit, I'm burnt out. You smoke me on the table.
Oh, man.
Time to go to night-night.
Them is moments, man. Them is memories.
Yeah, memories, man. Memories.
What, so when was, when you first noticed that whatever I got going on in the music game or in the music industry, producing or whatnot, is bigger than, you know, L.A.?
Man, you know, I think once I got to doing, man, with like I said, with like the Snoop thing and the Boosie Collins and the Nipsey, you know, I figured like, oh, okay. And then I started doing other stuff with like Scarface. And
yeah.
Red, man. I got songs with everybody, man.
Man, like, we're going to have to go down the list, man.
Yeah, you know, my thing I say every time I do music is called, I go bang, right?
Yeah,
you might
yeah.
have seen that.
Yeah.
So, like, Scarface will call me on the phone, bang. I'll be like, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? But the biggest thing of that, doing music, got this thing, man, the legend was the biggest thing for me. Bigger than the LA thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just made me feel like that I had, they were telling me that, you know, that I needed to keep going what I was doing, and it was, and I felt like the success was bigger than what I had to go dig out more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To see, you know, to fulfill that dream.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Man, you
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
How was, did you ever make it out to Jersey or the East Coast to deal with Redman, or was it kind of like make the beat, send it? Or how was those processes working back then when you dealt with him? Or did you ever make it to Texas or Houston or, you know?
Yeah. So with Redman, I did a song with Trick from Detroit. Shout out to my boy Trick.
Yeah. Shout out Trick.
I did a song with him. It's a good brother of mine, man. Real, yes, that's my guy, mm-hmm. right? And he had a couple songs, man. He was like, man, it's a banger. He's like, man, I'm getting Redman on that motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For real? So he ended up getting Redman on the song. Redman ended up giving on the song, but Redman reached out to me like, hey, that's why Redman called me Stone No Quantize. Right? That's a name for me, right?
Yeah.
He called me West Coast Stone No Quantize. Yeah. So, you know, I don't quantize my music, man. Yeah, you know, you got to keep it sloppy. You know about it, man.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but after you get through finishing that, explain what quantizing is for this new generation or people that don't know.
Yeah, so quantize is when you're trying to put the beat, you know what I'm saying, you put it together and you're trying to make it keep on, you know, without falling off. But the real way is to sometimes don't let it just go. Let it flow.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Let it flow. Don't quantize it to make it square.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We try to make it like this.
Yeah.
Make it oval, make it round.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sounds good slow.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So.
Wow. I never knew that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. techniques of a producer.
Yeah, and this is what, you know, people need to know, because sometimes you don't get the behind the scenes on producers. You hear about the rapper or the person on the track, and you don't know this sound or this classic wouldn't even got brought to life without the producer.
You know? And I learned that from, you know, listening to the older music and hearing the ear, and I'm like, wait a minute, that clap sound off. But you got three or four claps on top of each other to make it sound like, instead of clap, it's like
So it makes it breathe on the beat.
All about filling it up and giving it a little more soul.
What was your experience with Scarface? Because, you know, he's legendary, Ghetto Boys, you know, and I got to hear that story, however it went, however you worked with him, you know, whether personal or, you know, just putting it together, you know. How was that?
We all on Instagram, you know, social media is a good thing. Because people that you couldn't reach out to, you can now reach out to.
Back then
it was hard.
So
on social media some years ago, you know, he hit me up one time. He said, hey, man, he said, I want to get a beat from you for, what's the guy, the tall guy that's from Houston?
Slim Thug?
Slim Thug. He said, man, I want to get a beat from you, man, for Slim Thug. He said, me and Slim Thug want to get on the beat you got, man. You know what I'm saying? It was a reggae beat that I did.
Oh, okay.
And so he heard the reggae beat, and then he's like, hey, man, I want to do some stuff with you. So he say, you know, I got the, what's the baseball team out there in Texas?
Astros, Houston Astros.
Yeah, he said that he had some people ready to build a studio, and he said, man, look, I want you to be one of the producers down here.
Oh, that's
nice.
Saying,
to help me to produce with me, you know what I'm saying, produce some records, because I like your style, I like what you're doing when you both get together. So that's how we end up, you know.
That's what's up.
He heard the music, he felt it, he reached out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's
like,
up.
Man, he see the real with the real. Like you said, the real with the real.
Real talk.
That gang.
Yeah, you feel me?
So you seen that,
that organic.
And it's like, man, look, we can put something together. We can do something together. So, you know, we became close, man. And, like, you know, we talk all the time, man.
That's what's up, man. That's organic, you know, and that's genuine. And just, you know, being able to network around the board.
Right.
I feel as, you know what I'm saying, that's what more we need to have in our community, because it seems like, you got, you know, what they call the culture vultures and people that are taking advantage of it when we really need to be working with each other.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
And on multiple levels, though.
Yeah.
I ain't even talking about music. I'm talking about in the community, real estate.
Yeah.
And, you know, like how, you know, you got Bron and them guys, you know, being their own agents and getting players versus, you know, you know what I'm saying? You know, because that's the only way that you're going to keep the black economics rolling.
Yeah, we got to keep it rolling.
You know what
I'm
saying? And dealing with each other, you know?
Yeah. Start having, supporting the businesses and supporting our people's business. And,
real
and
talk.
Stuff like that, man. And so what I did was, I had got, I got tired of asking people to do videos for me, right?
Oh, okay.
So what I did was, like, I took a course for about 2 or 3 months on how to do videos and do movies.
Oh,
so
wow.
Bought my own equipment and drones and all this stuff, and I started shooting my own film and videos and stuff, man.
Yeah.
And just having my own.
Self-made, man. Yeah. Self-taught, you know what I'm saying? That's what I brought these hoodies out for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when cats think you're green, they're going to take advantage of you the whole way. So hold on, let me pause for a minute. Put about, you know, like you said, 90 days out of my program, and let me go back and go to school.
Yeah.
Go learn.
Myself, man.
Real talk.
Now, you know, I got my own stuff. I can shoot a video. I can do whatever I want. And now I'm doing that. I got my clothing line coming. And I mean, you know, I got my merch and stuff coming. So I'm just, you know, it's all.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the merch and the clothing line, man. Shoot the website out where they can find it. But let's talk about what it is and, you know, how it came to life.
Yeah, man. So so if you've seen on my Instagram, I got people pop locking all across the world to my music.
Oh, okay. Okay. Talk to me.
So what I did was I got a pop locking brand.
Oh.
You know, the clothing.
Pop
music clothing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I got overseas. I have a lot of, all my fans are like, you know, overseas.
That's big right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That paper coming from overseas, man.
So they gravitated to that, man, and with the pop lock. So I started doing that, started getting the clothing for the dancers, you know, and it's still all intertwined with the music.
Yeah,
So, you know what I mean? So that's.
Where can they find that at?
www.officialwestcoaststone.com.
Yeah, y'all go follow that. Y'all go purchase everything you got going on. If you don't know what pop locking is, go on YouTube and learn it so you can pop lock.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what I like to say? ready for the world to stand up on the wall looking like this, and then the world dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes you happy, man.
Yeah, real talk.
The world is more happier dancing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And having fun, man. Where's those days at? You know what I'm saying?
Man.
You know, the Mac Dre's and no idea to get down.
You used to dance, man. You know,
yeah.
Dance,
man. You used to get down, but now it's music. Everybody like, no,
they slide, man.
Baby. You know, they little smiling man and getting a little boogie on right fast.
It's their own demon time. It's unfortunate. We need to bring that back. You know, they feel that it ain't a hit song if they ain't talking about killing 10 people in a 16.
Yeah, music's supposed to be fun, man.
Yeah, facts.
If you're not having fun doing the music, what are you doing it for?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What was your most funnest or interesting or, you know, in that nature of fun and just, you know, enthusiastic and just live time, what was the most... the best feature or collaboration you did with somebody, like, you
man,
know?
The funnest artist I had was Sugar Free.
Sugar Free, I got to hear Sugar Free, my player partner, Free, man. Shout out Sugar Free, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, Sugar Free, man. He's so much fun and he's talented. But he makes you laugh while you're rapping.
Yeah, yeah. You know he'll say anything off the wall.
Off the wall.
You'd be like, what'd he say,
man?
What?
But you know, it's fun, and I like having fun with the artist when I'm making music. Because that's a good spirit, and that makes me bring out the best in me when I'm producing, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I talk about, too, emailing beats and really officially in the studio with someone.
Yeah.
It's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because the email is cool. You can send a beat and rap on it.
Yeah.
But when you're in there feeling the spirit with someone, connecting in the same room is different.
Yeah.
And the music comes out different.
Yeah.
Comes out better. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion.
We want to go and it's time to give some game, man.
Okay.
You West Coast Stone, you've been in it, you know what I'm saying, from the 90s until today, which is a beautiful thing. So we want to educate the youth and bless them with some game, man. What would you tell a young up-and-coming producer, you know, on which way to go and how to go about, with your experience and your knowledge and your wisdom, how to get in this or... is it worth getting in this game?
Okay, yeah, it's definitely worth getting in the game. Independent is the role.
Mm-hmm.
And most important is to have your publishing, your writers, and your stuff so you can collect your royalties and your money. Make sure you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you put a song out and it goes somewhere and then somebody done got you for your money and you're mad, you can't be mad at nobody but yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have to look out for number one, which is you. So you have to make sure your music is copyrighted. You got to make sure your whatever you're doing that is business, and that you have your stuff in order before you release your music to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you release your music to anyone and you don't have it published, then you're basically giving it to somebody to take.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't really, in a sense, get mad. You got jacked or robbed.
Yeah.
It was your ignorance or not knowing the business side of the game.
Yeah, because that's important. That's what's going to feed your family. If you got a family, you got kids, when you pass away from this world, then they eat off of that. And so you want to make sure that you leave something, you know, behind for them, your legacy, for them to continue to eat off of.
Yeah. That's some good game, some wisdom, because a lot of people are jumping in to the music just because it's a new fad, but not really knowing that, you know.
And fast money.
Not knowing that there's a business side to this. There's process, there's paperwork, there's, you know, a lot of things that you have to understand before you just jump off into the deep end and you don't know how to swim.
Yeah. Because the fast money looks good at the time, but then when that money's gone about 20 or 30 years from now, then what you do?
Facts.
You know what I mean? You got something to show for it. You got any cat, you know, get into some stocks, put your money, invest your money.
Yeah.
When you get the money, you're getting a little bit of paper. For you people that's getting a little bit of paper, invest your money into something where it's going to get your money back and take care of you forever.
Talk to me.
You know what I mean?
Some residual income or something.
Yeah.
What's your definition of game, West Coast Stone, man?
Man, definition of game. Man, it's me, man. You looking at it right now.
Yeah.
No, man. Definition of game, man, is to me, man, is to taking in all the knowledge and wisdom from people and putting it all in one ball and keep it. You never can get too much information. There's always information out there for everything. And keep gathering in and keep taking it in and putting the data, man, here, man, and using it and just, you know, keep going. That's the definition of the game. Don't stop.
Don't stop, man. Keep always remain a student. You know, because some people think they know it all, know too much, but then you look at how they living and what they doing, it's like, you ain't, your results, you know? Yeah, yeah. How you know it all and the results that you getting ain't really nothing that nobody wants to mimic or follow behind.
Yeah.
So they can be able to say, you know, I got that game or I got that knowledge or that wisdom from this man or woman to create my empire or to start my route or to start my business or to go to this college or to start this, you know, entrepreneur journey. Right, so, you know, I just, me and people that know it all really don't get along, man.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a lot to learn in the world. It's a lot to learn every day as you live.
Mm-hmm.
Every day as you live until you pass away. There's always something to learn.
Yeah.
Every day is game.
Yeah. Every day is game.
Every day is game.
And that's why 365 is, you know what I'm saying, merged with the word game because every day and every way. 365 days, man.
Game, man. You know? Every day you wake up, you learn something new.
I'm trying to tell you.
You keep your eyes open and you're open to, you know, be open to things, new things and, you know, new ideas.
Yeah. You know? Let's fast forward now, man. So, we leaving L.A., man. We on our way up I-5 North, man.
Right,
and we headed to Seattle. We headed to Washington, man.
Right.
You know, we trying to figure out, did you end up here because you just needed to get away from Cali? Did you have an opportunity? Did you say, oh, I got about 10, 15 artists that want my sound that I can, you know, help and make something happen. So, you know, I'm going to solidify what I got going up here, man, and really lock this West Coast in.
Right.
How did you end up? You know what I'm saying? Up that I-5, man, and up in, you know, Seattle, Washington, man. Let's talk about it, man.
So I met this, I was seeing this girl. She was coming down from Seattle to L.A.
Uh-huh.
She was a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
She said, I said, hey, where you from? We talking. And she was like, I'm from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Seattle? And I was like, I ain't never been to Seattle. You know
what I'm saying?
She was like, man, it's cracking up there. But I remember my uncle then back in the 80s. Coming up here.
Yeah, you already know. You already,
on the hilltop and doing their thing, right?
Yeah, they was locked in.
So I'm like, come on. They was like, yeah.
Shout out Hilltop. I got some potters from Hilltop, man. I got some good ones from Hilltop. My potters.
She's like, you know, ride up here with me. I'm coming right back. She was like, you come out here with me. Check it out.
Yeah.
We're going to drive back. I'm like, all right, cool. I ain't got nothing to do. I'll take a trip. So end up coming up here. I end up meeting one of these guys named Casey Greeley. Shout out to Casey Greeley. I met him, and he was good friends with E-Dawg.
Okay.
E-Dawg. Shout out to E-Dawg. And then E-Dawg had introduced me to Mix-A-Lot.
Oh, okay.
Mix-A-Lot was the first person that ever bought a beat from me, and it was a nice check. Good shout out to Mix-A-Lot.
Shout out Mix.
He didn't cheat me, man.
Yeah, that's good.
So he was the first person in Seattle to ever buy a beat from me and gave me a nice chunk.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up.
And so I end up, you know, I was like, oh man, there's some money up there, right? This is cool.
So
end up coming back and forth, man. And, man, I just end up staying because, like I said, I wanted something new.
Yeah.
I wanted to be somewhere different.
Mm-hmm.
And people was nice out here, man.
Yeah.
You know, they accepted me because they was like, man, they don't like dudes from LA up there. Well, I was back in the day. But I was just like, man, you know, as long as I'm minding my own business. I'm minding my own business.
Yeah, real talk, real talk.
I'm trying to get some money. So I end up coming back and forth, man. And meeting some cats that's into the music, you know, like RC. I met him years ago.
Shout out RC, man.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out RC. You know, back in the day, we all that, you know, and met some good people up here, man, that was really talented and doing music and stuff like that, man. And there's some really good, talented people out here, man. And,
how was the cultural shock? Because it's more diversified out here. I know, you know, growing up in L.A. and probably, you know what I'm saying, the parts of Watts and where you come from, you see more of your people all the time out here. You know, you see, you know, your people, you see Samoan, you see Asian, you see a little bit of a Latino, you know, you see a whole gumbo mix of cultures. Mm-hmm. So how was that? Was that a shock to you or was it like, oh, I like this?
No, it wasn't a shock. I liked it. And I think they liked what I was bringing to the table too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sound and how talented and versatile I was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just don't, I'm West Coast Stone, but I don't do just West Coast music.
Yeah, yeah.
I do everything. I do jazz, I do gospel, I do R&B.
Oh, that's what's up. How do you get an ear for that? How'd you get an ear to know what You just be knowing, like, you just, it's just certain, it's them instruments, ain't yeah, it? Knowing what to lead with,
yeah,
ain't
it? Yeah, man, it just, man, you know, like I say, man, it's a blessing from God, man.
Yeah.
He blessed me, you know, to have an ear to be versatile, to hear all the music from all corners. So I think, you know what I'm saying, I just blessed, man, you know?
Yeah.
Just blessed.
Did you get out here on foot, or did you start knocking at all the studios' doors, or artists' emails, or going to shows? Like, how did you become solidified as far as like where I need you guys to know what I got going on, because I got some music that you guys gonna like to get on.
Yeah, or, yeah, man,
so how did you go about that when you came out here though?
Yeah, I was kicking down doors and knocking out COs. But I had CDs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you still was on the guerrilla marketing.
Because I was like, because back then they didn't have email and social media. So something like that, they didn't have all that. So I was pressing them CDs up, burning them. Remember they had, you could buy them little burnable CD burners back.
Yeah.
Bought some of those, man, and just made a gang of CDs and just passed them out. Like, hey, man, you know, and a lot of people just gravitated like, man, you got some slaps, man. Like, you know, and, you know, I met a lot of people out here doing that. And I remember people, like today, I see a person today and was like, man, I remember I got your CD with the beach on. I still got it at home. Dang, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
20 years later?
50 years later. No, I already give you my age, right?
But
long time ago, but they still have my CD to this day. It was like, man, I got your CD at home with the beach on it, man. It was banging.
Yeah.
And so that's, I just started doing that, singing hooks, man. And, you know, I rap too and I sing too. And people just gravitated on
that's what's up, man. Yeah. Was there anybody that you like to work with out here that was just more interesting and just fun to work with out of majority of the people, or was it kind of like a little bit of everybody? Depends on, you know.
Yeah, it was a little bit of everybody, man. Some people I had closer things working with. Shout out to a Soprano RP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good dude, man. I did a lot of music with him, and you know, it's a lot of out here, man.
Yeah.
Too many to name because I'm on so many projects.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. But stay working.
But, you know, it's a lot of good people out here that can rap, man, and had talent, man.
Yeah.
Man, we were just linking it up, man, in the studio, getting it going, man.
Does producers go on tour with artists, or you guys just kind of like post up in the studios and stuff? Like, how is that? Like, you know, because I know they take their manager on the road with them. They take, you know what I'm saying, to whoever, if they're the label or their homeboys with them. But, dude, you have any stories and experiences of going on tour with artists and stuff like that?
Yeah, man. I went on tour a lot of times, man, with a lot of people. But I also, it was kind of hard because, you know, the artist is always kind of in the front and then kind of the producer is kind of the. So that would let me to kind of do being an artist, too.
Because
I was like, man, I want to show these people how it's done too.
I want to
show them that.
Because I'm multi-talented.
I want to show them I can get in. You know, I want to show them I can sing. I want to show them I can rap.
Yeah.
So I said, I just don't want to take this one seat. I want to take them all so I can push myself and be out there as an artist, be out there as a producer, be out there. And I can move around with
For sure.
See what I'm saying?
For sure.
Being versatile.
Yeah. I seen on social media that you got some credits with 40.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Shout out E40, man. Yeah, he just got his 40, own he got his own street sign out there where he's from, man.
Shout out E40, man. We got a couple jams together, man. We got one, man, it's called This Bitch Moving. And then man, we got a few of them, man. I can't even remember all
I had to name drop E40 because you know he pops that game for real.
Yeah, for sure.
And 40's a legend too, and he's just been in it for so long, and he's just always recreating himself and doing something new and different to where you can't tell that he's been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah, man.
You can't even tell because he's you know, he's a man of many hats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, We got a couple joints from E40, man, and Be Legit, Juice, Messy Mar, I mean, Sneak.
Man, this is a list goes on.
List goes on. I got so much music out there, man.
What is some like jewels and game and knowledge that you would give, like, you know, as a person, you know, not gets to where I want to say the end of his career, but up there where you know you've been doing it for about 15 plus, and it's time to diversify your portfolio and start spreading your hustle, creating other streams of income, because you might not be able to live off the music forever. But it's time to take some of this bread from the music and start putting it in different buckets to where you can start manifesting different things. So give us some game about, you know, the importance of, you know, kind of like jumping out there, man, and taking a chance to advance on another level outside of music.
Yeah. So music licensing. You know what I mean? A lot of producers are not even making records. Artists is not making a lot of records anymore. They're doing the music licensing, right? TV, commercials, all that. They're paying good.
You
get paid more than streams. You know, but if you can get into music licensing, licensing your music out, that's where you can not make a record. That's why a lot of these rappers, like Mix-A-Lot, he didn't have to know how to make another record if he don't want to. You know why? Because his music licensing is paying him till the day he died. You know, one day, I'm going to tell you this. I was at Mix-A-Lot's house one day. I used to go up there. Because I like to fish. He loves to leave Black Diamond. He had the lake back there. He said, "Stay on, come up here and go fishing." I said, "I like fishing." He had a big old catfish back there, right? And one day, man, I was sitting at his table, and I heard the doorbell, ding, ding. He said, "Man, somebody at the door." He goes to the door. He got his box. And when he got this box, he opened it up, man, and he said, "Man, they done sent me another one, man." And I was like, "What is he talking about?" I ain't going to disclose the
matter.
I mean, this dude, man, had a big old fat check. Man, from Lice Music Publishing. Look, we were sitting there, and then it's probably about 20 minutes later. Ding dong. Who's that? Oh man, they sent me another one.
Priority mail.
Another check.
Priority
mail. Man, I said, man, if I don't get my sync license in together.
Oh, wait.
So you know.
There you have it. There you have it, you got.
Man, I seen it for my own eyes. Just off your the publishing, the sync license.
I know what you're saying.
The sync license.
Because that means they can get you for commercials. Why everybody can, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nicki Minaj is using Baby Got. I know what you're saying.
So he don't have to make another record if he don't want, man. And he could just sit back, man, and gain that money. And I haven't heard him made a new album in a long time.
Yeah.
But he's living good.
Yeah.
So that ought to tell you right
there.
And
that's what counts.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's what counts.
So the sync license is the way to go. If you can get someone to believe in you and to believe in your music, because you have to have someone that believe in you and believe in your music, not to get you or to mess over you.
Yeah.
You have to have someone that believe in the same dream you're believing in.
Genuine support system.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you can be able to go far, and they can teach you the way and show you the routes to go.
What has been the negatives, like the snakes, the jakes, and the fakes? How have you avoided them, or how have they shown you that you need to have those genuine support systems, teams, managers, business partners? We can't always act like everything goes good in this game. There's always this frauds and part-time broads that, you know, want to backdoor you for your stardom, your position, your bread, or get up under you because, oh, I don't got to get no money from Stone, but I could just kick it and go on and be in the studio and hang a fly in the wall and meet Snoop.
Get a slapper.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about that.
So the thing is, man, like I say, it's having the right support system. I go by the spirit. You see what I'm saying?
Your energy, what's important.
Because the spirit, it has you to know who you messing with and who not to mess with.
Facts.
And it's like this, man. You got to keep God first in your life, first foremost. No. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to let the spirit lead you into people. And then when you don't let that happen, you can find yourself in different situations.
Yeah.
And not let the spirit lead you with people.
Yeah.
So for me, I have to let the spirit lead me with people, because the spirit's going to let you know if it's good or if it's bad.
Facts. Facts.
You see what I'm saying?
Facts. No,
you know how you get that intuition, like, oh, man, I didn't go over there last night, man, because I had a gut feeling.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I'm glad you didn't come over here, man, because it went down.
Yeah, real talk.
Because that's the spirit guiding you, man. When you have that in your life, man, we got to also keep that first in our life. You know what I'm saying? So that's been helping me.
That's some good wisdom. That's some good wisdom, because a lot of times people, they have that intuition, they have that gut feeling, but then, you know,
listen to it, ignore it,
because they're so busy trying to satisfy others. And that's where the word peer pressure, you know, always derives from, because people can make moves based upon their own recognizance, but it's like, I'm trying to, you know, make her happy.
Right.
Or make the homies happy.
Right.
And then I got 25 years now because
you made the homie happy.
You feel what I'm saying?
Not a homie with your girl.
And now they got, hey, real talk. Real,
now you homie with your girl.
Hey, man. And they sent you a dollar on commissary.
A dollar on commissary.
You know what I'm saying?
I get some ramen noodles, man.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, man.
They turned the phone off. The number ain't even the same.
Ain't the same.
Man, it's West Coast work. Stone, man. I appreciate you sliding through, man.
Oh, man, no problem. I'm
legendary conversation, classic, you know, one for the books, man.
Sure, man.
You guys go out here and support West Coast Stone. Last question, man, before I go, before we go.
Right.
Give them any new projects, anything that you need them to follow, subscribe, pay attention to, look at now, man. Let them know so they can know what to look out for and where to find it at, man.
Yeah, man. So I got a couple. I just released a Christmas album. That's pretty knocking, man. Go check that out. It's called Christmas Funk. You know what I'm saying? And then I got, I got a Stoner's Music album. Like, if you want to smoke, man, get down. You smoke. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got Stoner's Music, and I got Pop Lock Music, man. I got some stuff coming out with Boosie Collins. I just dropped a single called Never Alone with Boosie Collins. So I got a lot of stuff. So if just go, I mean, I got so many, I can't even remember all the record, like, albums.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
I have.
You working, man.
Yeah, I'm working. So, but if you go to West Coast Stone, man, and Google me, man, everything will pop up. Apple Music, Tidal, Pandora, Spotify. I'm on all that, man. And go check that out, man.
West Coast Stone, man.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
So, man.
It was
you need
love,
some
man.
Some bangers too. Come let me know.
Oh
man.
Yeah, man. Definitely tap in for the banger, man. So, you man. Know, you want to be in involved with the likes of Snoop and like you said, Wiz Khalifa, Boosie Collins, man. And E-40, and Rest in Peace, Nip, and you know all the legends, man, and all the greats, and all the guys that man that put it down. You know what I'm saying, for this music game, man.
Oh, you know another. Oh, I gotta tell you this before we go.
Go ahead. We still
I got
on.
Another record with Short Chop. You remember Short?
Oh yeah, I remember Short Chop.
Man,
yeah,
he's a man. I got a record. I got some records coming out with him. Boss Hogg, rest in peace, from Death Row. You know, CPO, and man, I got a couple records coming out, man. That I'm about to release.
Man, like he said, Google the man. YouTube it, you know, and go find everything you can, and go back to the archives so you can see how it all started too. You know, and then you'll get an up to date on, you know, how the sound is, what it is, and you know how, you know, the movement, man, and
right,
what
man.
He's pushing. So you know. Yeah, man, we out, man. Game 365, man.
Game 365, baby.
One love, man.
Peace.